much for the gift. I mean, it is appreciated. Heather and I love it and appreciate just kind words that you give. It doesn't have to be a physical gift by any stretch of the imagination. It's just always nice to hear the appreciation and the thanks that you give, and we love that just as much as anything that you might would give us in addition to that. So we thank you and we love you, and I guess this is Christmas number 4 for us here with you all, and you know, we look forward to many more Christmases after this. It seems like the Christmas season for us gets better and better every year here with the everything from the Christmas play program to the music services that we have leading up to worship, and even the messages. You know, the Lord over the last few years has been giving me messages that really I enjoy preaching, and I look forward to preaching these topical messages talking about Christmas. And this morning we're going to finish out our Christmas series as we talk about and look at this question. And I want to ask you, are you satisfied with Christmas? Are you satisfied with Christmas? Matthew chapter 2 verses 1 through 15. If you can stand for the reading of these 15 verses, I would ask you if you could please do that with me as we give honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. I understand this is a lengthy number of verses. If you cannot, we understand, and you keep seated there as we read the Word of God together. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. I want you to ask yourself, are you satisfied with Christmas? Here in Matthew chapter 2, starting in verse 1, the Scripture says it this way. He says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all of the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet: And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' And Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascended them from what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go search diligently for the child where you have found him, and bring me word that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, 'Rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him.' And he rose and he took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. And he remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet: 'Out of Egypt I call my son.'" You may be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for the blessing and the gifts that you've given us this Christmas holiday season. Lord, we thank you so much for the gifts and the blessings of this year. Lord, I know for many it has been a difficult year. For many, this is the first year, this is the first Christmas, first Thanksgiving without loved ones that we have lost. And Lord, we know how difficult and how trying that can be, Lord. But Father, I pray that we still see a way and an opportunity to praise you and thank you for the gift of life that you provided. Lord, I also pray likewise, Lord, that for those of us who have just gone through a difficult year, I know some have lost jobs and some have lost homes, some have lost relationships, Lord, and we just pray for healing, Lord. We pray that we seek your face, Lord. We pray, Father, that we turn everything over to you. Lord, I know for some this Christmas holiday season may be more difficult than any before. Lord Father, I pray that most of all, that this Christmas holiday season, that we can truly be happy and rejoice in Christmas, not with the expectation of anything of this life or of this world, but that our expectations be set on You and upon You alone, Lord. Father, I pray this morning, if there's somebody here who's never known You, Lord, I pray that this Christmas might be a special one for them as they come and they give their heart and their life to You. Lord, I pray, Father, that if there's somebody here who just needs an upliftment, strength, and encouragement, that, Lord, I pray they will turn to You and to You alone. Lord, I would ask this morning that You forgive me of my failures, Lord, that they are many. Lord, I pray that but for a short time You use me as a mouthpiece and as a tool, that You preach me as a dying man unto a lost and a dying world. Lord, we'll give You all the honor and the glory and the credit for it because You are worthy of it. It's all this we ask in Your holy, precious name. Amen. Anybody ever been disappointed at Christmas? Nobody? John in the back and a few others? All right, let's be real with each other. There's moments and times and maybe a few Christmas holiday seasons where you've not been as happy as you would like to have been. And I think a lot of that has to do with the expectations of what we have for Christmas. You know, it's not Christmas and the fall of Christmas and the Christmas season that we're not happy with the way maybe that things have turned out over the holiday season. I think it has more to do with the expectation of what we want from Christmas, what we expect Christmas to be. And we live in a world and we live in a society where Christmas is very commercialized. We have this image of what Christmas should be from the commercialized point of view. We have this image of Christmas from the old Norman Rockwell paintings. Anybody like those? The old Christmas paintings of that Norman Rockwell did in the early 20th century. They're beautiful and it kind of gives us this poetic image of what Christmas maybe should be like. And for some of us, you know, Christmas as we get older may not be as great as it was for when we were kids. You know, you can remember how it was as a child, how excited you were about Christmas and how great that Christmas was and things were just so magical. But then as you get older and you become an adult and you see that Christmas can really be very hectic because of gift giving and gift buying and preparations and planning family meals, it's difficult. It can be stressful. So we have all of these expectations for what we want Christmas to be, and sometimes it just doesn't live up to the standard of the Norman Rockwell painting. Sometimes it just doesn't live up to the standard of what the commercial industry says that Christmas should be like or about. But I'm here to tell you that Christmas can be a joyful season, even in the midst of loss, even in the midst of hardship, even if things have been a struggle for you this year. It's all about the expectation of what you want Christmas to be. If you really want Christmas to be great, it can be great. If you really want to be satisfied in Christmas, you can be satisfied. But how do you do that? I think we can take a lesson from the Magi and the wise men in the way that they sought out the first Christmas, the way that they sought out Christ after His birth and how they celebrated it. And I believe it begins with this notion. If you want to be satisfied in Christmas, you've got to ask yourself, what is it that I seek? What is it that I want Christmas to be? Do you want Christmas to be the commercialized version of Christmas where we buy as many gifts as we can possibly buy one another, stuffing them under the tree, some of us going into debt by credit card in order to make one another happy by the giving of gifts? Now, I don't know about you, but I really enjoy gift giving. You know, one of the things that my wife says about me, one of the greatest compliments that maybe any husband could get, is my wife says that I'm an extraordinary gift giver. Yeah, how about a round of applause for that? Come on. I'm not one of you guys that, you know, I'm not one of those guys that gets, you know, my wife a treadmill. You know, I'm not one of those guys that gets my wife a new stove or a new iron. You know, I'm not one of those guys that gets my wife something that she can better use to help me in the home, okay? I know better than all that. You know, my wife will tell you that I'm an excellent gift giver. I love giving gifts. I love planning to give gifts. I actually enjoy shopping to give gifts. I do it on my own. I try to do it at a time that, nobody else is really around, where it's not very crowded in the stores, but I enjoy doing it in my own way. So for me, I have this expectation of what Christmas is about, and what I seek to do through gift giving. And I want to give good gifts, and I want, my family to be happy with the gifts that I give. Anybody ever gotten a crappy gift at Christmas? Absolutely you have. You've gotten that gift from an extended family member, and it was maybe a gift that somebody else had given them. Remember that from last year? You know, the re-gift gift? Amen? Anybody ever gotten a re-gift gift? Yeah, some of you men have gotten that necktie that somebody else got earlier in the year or on a birthday, and it's hideous and it's terrible, and now you've been given that re-gift a gift. Yeah, we've all been there. We've all experienced that kind of Christmas. But I'm telling you that Christmas is what you seek it out to be. Amen? Christmas really is what you seek it out to be. And if you want to be satisfied with Christmas, you've got to ask yourself, what is it that I seek? When we look to the Magi in verse 2, it said it this way, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." You see, one of the first things that we learn about the Magi and what they sought out is, first and foremost, they were looking for the Christ. You want to be satisfied with this Christmas holiday season? Don't look for the commercialized version of Christmas. Don't look for gifts to make you happy. Don't even look for family gatherings to make you happy, because I don't know about you, but in the career path of law enforcement, you'll learn something about family gatherings at Thanksgiving and Christmas. Causes a lot of domestics. People get together for the first time in a long time, and they're not very nice, and they're not very polite to each other sometimes, and it causes a lot of stress and tension. You might think, you know, hey, in the holiday season at home with my family is where I could be the happiest. That may not always be true, but it is all about what you seek. And what are you seeking this Christmas holiday season? The Magi sought the Christ child, the one who was the Son of God, the one who was the Savior of the world, the one who was going to bring peace, the one who was going to bring joy, the one who would change the world. You want to be satisfied with Christmas this holiday season? You've got to ask yourself, what is it that I seek? And am I truly looking for the things that matter? Am I looking for Christ in Christmas? The second thing that we see that these men sought was not only the Christ, they looked for Him and His coming, but they said, "We saw the star when it rose, and we have come to worship Him." You want to be satisfied this Christmas holiday season? Make Christmas not about just gift giving and family gatherings and eating way too much, but make Christmas about the Christ, and also make Christmas about worshiping Him. Take an opportunity this Christmas holiday season and focus on worshiping Him, because He is worthy to be worshiped. We serve a God who is great and almighty and magnificent. We serve a God whose love abounds anything that we could possibly describe or really ever truly imagine. That is the God that we serve, and He is worthy to be worshiped. In Psalm chapter 95, verse 6, I'll share a few verses with you. It says this, He says, "Oh, come and let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. He is our Maker. He is our Creator. Let us worship Him because He is worthy to be worshipped." In John chapter 4, verse 23, but in the words of Christ it says, "But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such people to worship Him." Now is the time, now is the season, now is the moment, and the Lord is seeking for those who will worship Him truly, in spirit and in truth. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, Paul wrote and said it this way. He says, "Through Him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name." Just as the Magi sought, one, the Christ, and two, to worship Him, if you want to be satisfied and truly happy this Christmas holiday season, you've got to ask yourself, what am I seeking? What do I want? What are my expectations? And I can promise you, if your expectations are aligned along those of the Magi, and you seek out Christ, and you seek out to worship Him because He truly is worthy to be worshipped, I can promise you that you'll be satisfied with your Christmas holiday season. But what else do we learn from the Magi? How else can we ask ourselves, are we truly satisfied with Christmas? It's not just about what we seek, but I also believe it's about where we look for what we seek. Amen? You know, we learn something from the Magi. It says in the story that we read here in Matthew that they came first to Jerusalem. You know, I thought that was kind of interesting and very fitting. If you come to look for the King of the Jews, where would you go in Israel? If you had no idea really about the prophecy, if you were just told that there was this Christ child who was going to be born, this King of the Jews, and you thought, man, the King of the Jewish people, where would I go to look for a king? Just like now, if I told you, where would you go to look for a president, you'd probably go where? The White House, the Capitol, right? You'd go to the Capitol. If you lived in the United Kingdom and you wanted to look for a queen, where would you go? London, Buckingham Palace, right? You'd go to the place where you would think a king or queen or president or ruler might live. And that's exactly what the Magi did. They went to the capital city of Israel. They went to Jerusalem, a place where kings had resided now for generations. And they went and they asked Herod about this King of the Jews, this Christ child. And of course we know the story and we know the intentions of Herod. And he was very concerned about this coming of Christ. And meeting with the chief priests, they discuss about what the Word of God says. And he ultimately came together with the Magi and tells them, no, it's not here, but it's Bethlehem where you want to go. And so we know that they first went to Jerusalem because that's obviously where you'd think to look for a king, is a place where kings would live, the capital city. But it wasn't all for naught, because the Magi, while there, one, they learned of the intentions of Herod soon thereafter and learned about who he was, but they also learned about the prophecy of Christ, and they learned about the foretelling of Him being born in the city of Bethlehem. So they got further directions in looking for this Christ child, looking for the one whom they wanted to worship. This Christmas holiday season, if you want to be satisfied and happy and joyous with Christmas, it's not just about who you seek and what you seek, but it's also about where you look for it. And I'm telling you, we look so many places for joy and happiness. For some people, joy and happiness is all about this Christmas holiday season. It's all about gifts. It's all about how much can I possibly give. For some, it is about giving. I love to give gifts. I really do. And I find so much joy in gift giving. But even in those two things, it's more than just looking for happiness and joy in Christmas in those places. You know, there are people in the world today who suffer immensely trying to look for happiness, trying to look for peace in all of the wrong places, in all the wrong venues, and in all the wrong ways. This Christmas holiday season, where are you looking for the joy and the happiness? I hope and pray that you're looking for that joy and that happiness in God. But in particular, I want to tell you where you can find great joy and happiness and where you can learn to be satisfied in the Christmas holiday season is looking to the plan. Looking to God's plan. You know, we talked about that last week. We talked about God's plan and how He sent His Son and why He sent His Son. We really looked at the in-depth insight of why He sent Christ as a child rather than as a man. Why He sent Him to be a king of the people, the Jewish people, rather than to be a great military leader. We looked at all of those things and we kind of gained this understanding about God's plan and how that His plan was very specific for a very specific reason. But I believe it's important that we look to God's plan, especially the plan that He has for you and for I. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7. I want to share this with you about God's plan. He says, "Ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Whatever it is that you seek, whatever it is that you are looking for this Christmas holiday season, if you seek it, if you search it, if you ask for it in Christ, it will be open for you. Amen. It's all about seeking and looking in the right places. And I believe it's about looking to His plan. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, very familiar scripture that I've read to you probably tens of dozens of times before, but it's still important for me to share it with you again. In the Old Testament, Jeremiah said it this way. He said, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, and they are plans for welfare and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." Paul wrote in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, he says this about God's plan. He says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." This holiday season, I am satisfied with Christmas. I'm satisfied with Christ. I'm satisfied with God because I know that He has a plan. I know that if I seek in Him, I will find it. If I look in Him, I will find it. I know that His plans and His thoughts for me are good. I know that if I love Him, all things will work together for the good. And I believe that, and I believe in His plan. I want you to believe in His plan. I want you to believe in His greatest plan, the greatest plan that evolved around His coming. You know, Christ came for a very specific reason. He came for a very specific purpose, and that was to be the Savior of the world. It wasn't to be that great political ruler. It wasn't just to be that mighty individual on the face of this earth. He was sent to be a Savior, meek and humble, spotless and without blame. John chapter 3. I'm going to read verse 16. But I also want you to read with me verses 17 and 18. A lot of times we know by heart John 3:16, but how often do we know verses 17 and 18 by heart? He says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now look what He says. He says, "For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God." We see this great, this beautiful verse about how that Christ came to be the Savior of the world. "For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life." But I love verses 17 and 18 just as much because it reveals God's plan. And God's plan is that none of us would face condemnation. God's plan was, "I'll give my Son for you so that you'll never have to die. I'll give my Son for you so that if you believe and trust in Him, you might be saved and have everlasting life." You want to be happy this Christmas holiday season? Look to God's plan and know and understand that that plan involves you. If you're a part of this world, Christ came and died for you. Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says it this way. He says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many." You see, God's plan involved more than self-service. God's plan involved serving others. God's plan involved an ultimate sacrifice. Where are you looking for the joy and the greatness in Christmas? Are you looking in Christ? Are you looking in God? Are you looking in His plan? Or are you looking to the world? What is it that you seek? Do you seek Christ and do you seek to worship Him? Or do you seek something else? Do you want to be satisfied this Christmas? I implore you, ask yourself what you seek. I ask of you, ask yourself, where do I look? But as we get ready to close, I also want you to ask yourself this. If you want to be satisfied this Christmas holiday season, what do I give? You see, the Magi brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We know that gold, a gift that represented the kingship of Christ. Frankincense, a gift that represented the deity of Christ. And then the gift of myrrh. Anybody know what that is? I promise you this, you can get a lot of stuff at Hobby Lobby, but you can't get myrrh at Hobby Lobby. Amen? Amen. I don't know where you'd find it today. I don't know if it's something that you could even still get. But myrrh was something that was used to anoint the bodies of the dead. And it's interesting, really, that these men brought gifts knowing only what they knew about Christ. They didn't know the full depth and the full scale of Christ and who that He was. But they felt led to bring gifts that representative of a king, a gift that represented His deity, but also a gift that represented His death. They could not have known in full knowledge the gifts that they brought, and especially that gift of myrrh, to anoint a body after its death. It was a symbolism and a representation that Christ truly did come to give of Himself as a sacrifice for the world. A revealing part of God's plan for you and for I and for all of this world. But one of the greatest things that we can understand about the three gifts that they brought is they were all appropriate. Christ was born a king, not just a heavenly king, but an earthly king as well, coming from the lineage of King David, but also that He was a deity. As much as He was holy man, He was also holy God. And they also brought the gift of myrrh. Truly, Christ would come and give His life as a sacrifice. All appropriate gifts of fitting to Christ Jesus. But what about you? What gifts do you give this Christmas holiday season? I promise you, my wife is going to be immensely happy with the gifts that I bought this Christmas holiday season. I can't wait till she opens them and she gets them. And in turn, she's a great gift giver as well. She really is. Sometimes I'll tell a story about a birthday stool I got one time. She always shakes her head. But it's a funny story. It's a good story for about a time when, if you've ever been a married couple and been on hard times financially, anybody ever been there? Yeah. I'll share that story for another time in another sermon. But she is a good gift giver. And she gives gifts that are appropriate and are well thought of, and I think we do well with that. And if you're not a good gift giver to your spouse or to the ones that you love, get better at it. That's my encouragement to you. But I want to encourage you to give good spiritual gifts as well. What gifts could I give to the Lord? Or what gifts could I give in service to Him? I think that the greatest gifts that we can give certainly involve our gifts. The Word of God explains and tells us that the Lord give each and every one of us gifts. He give us different spiritual gifts. For some it was teaching, for some it was prophecy, for some it was preaching of the Word, for some it was evangelism, for some it was discipleship, for some it's all many different types of things. You have a gift. God has given you a spiritual gift. Give that gift back to God. Give that gift back in service to Him. Also, your talents. One of the greatest gifts that you can give are your talents. Some of you are blessed with singing. Some of you are blessed with playing of musical instruments. Some of you are even blessed to do those two things at the same time. That's a special gift, amen? That's a talent that not very many people have. We have different gifts and different talents, different abilities. And it's important that we give those gifts and those talents to God. Are you a good public speaker? Is the Lord calling you to teach? Is the Lord calling you to preach? Are you a good teacher? Do you have a way with explaining things? Is the Lord calling you to teach a Sunday school class, a new learner's or a new believer's class? However God is teaching you, use your gifts and your talents wisely. But also, I encourage you, be a good gift giver of your time. Probably one of the ways that we rob God the most is we rob Him of our time. I'm just telling you the truth. We rob Him of our time. We devote our time to a lot of things. 40 hours a week at work, You devote so many hours a week to pleasure. You devote so many hours a week to your husband, to your wife, to your children, to your family. You devote so many hours a week to doing nothing but Facebook and social media and television. You know what I'm talking about. We have all of this time and we devote it to all these different things, but so often we rob God of the most time. Give Him your gifts, give Him your talents, give Him your time. But most of all, you want to give Him a great gift this holiday season? Give Him your heart. The greatest thing that you can give Him is your heart. And that will be the most appropriately giving. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Paul said it this way. He says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." Labor for Him. Give Him your works, give Him your time, give Him your gift, give Him your ability. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, Paul says it this way, speaking of appropriate gifts, he says, "I appeal to you, therefore, my brothers, by the miracles of God, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God." He says, "This is your reasonable worship." He says, "This is your reasonable worship." And he says in verse 2, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind." Be something different, that by the testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. See, God has the ability to change your heart and to change your life. All it takes is you giving your heart to Him. You want to be happy this holiday season? You want to be happy this Christmas? Give an appropriate gift. Give your heart and give your life to God. And He'll do something amazing with it. Amazing. You want to be happy this holiday season? Where do you look? Where are you looking for a joyous, happy holiday season? I hope you're looking to His plan. I hope you're understanding His plan and knowing that He gave of Himself for you. That if you believe in Him, you might go free. And I ask you, what is it you seek? Do you seek the Christ? And do you seek to worship Him? If the answer is no to all of those things, it's probably going to be hard for you to really be satisfied this Christmas holiday season. You're going to try to satisfy and make happy and joyous in a lot of different things. But I promise you, all the things you'll try to be satisfied and happy with are but temporary. They don't last forever. What God offers and what He has to give is eternal. Lasts forever. As our praise and our worship team comes, as we close out this time of preaching, we come to a time of response. Maybe you're here and you've asked yourself throughout this message, "Am I really satisfied? Am I really happy this Christmas?" If the answer is yes, I'm really happy. I hope you're happy in Christ. And I tell you this, you can never be truly happy outside of Christ. If you've never known Him, would you not come and invite Him into your heart and your life? I'd love to share with you personally how that you might be saved. But I promise you, it's easy and it's simple. It's as easy and as simple as admitting and knowing in your heart. Admitting and knowing in your heart that He is the Son of God. And that He came and that He gave of His life, made Himself a sacrifice, that if we believe in Him, we might go free. That's that next thing, not just admitting, but believing in our heart in Christ Jesus and who that He is, that He is the Son of God, and confessing, turning it all over to Him. You come this morning, you want to be satisfied, you want to be happy, come and give a reasonable gift. Give your heart, give your life to Him. Maybe you're here and you struggle in your relationship. Things have been difficult this year. It's been a difficult time. You come. However the Lord is working on your heart, you come. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to pray for you. This altar's open to you. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for the blessing and the gift of life. Lord, I pray that if there's somebody here today who's never known You, never invited you into their heart and their life, never been saved, I pray that they would but come and accept. Come and give their life freely to you today. Lord, I pray that you change them in a mighty way. Lord, Father, however you're leading the hearts of your people, I pray that they be earnest. I pray that they be receptive, Lord. I pray that they'll come with a humbleness and a meekness like you came to this world. Lord, help us to ask, are we satisfied? What do we seek? Where am I looking? And what is it that I have to give you, Lord? Father, lead, guide, and direct us. All this we ask in your name. Amen.